Today's Bible reading is from Numbers, chapter 20, verses 1 to 13. First month, the whole Israelite community arrived at the desert of Zin, and they stayed at Kadesh. There Miriam died and was buried. Now there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses and said, "If only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. Why did you bring the Lord's community into this wilderness? That we you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain or figs, grapevines or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink." Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance to the tent of meeting and fell face down, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, "Take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community, so they and their livestock can drink." So Moses took the staff. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock?" Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them." These were the waters of Meribah, where the Israelites quarreled with the Lord and where he was proved holy among them.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to church. My name is Albie. I'm one of the ministers here. It's great to have you with us, and especially if it's your first time with us or you haven't been for a while, it's even better. It's great that you can join us today as we look through the book of Numbers. Can I also say a big thank you to those who have been praying for us? It's been great, as Adrian just led us in prayer then, to be praying for our family. Eva is our youngest, and so she had an operation 2 weeks ago. She came out of hospital last week. It's been a bit tricky at times, a bit painful, but God has been good. The nurses and doctors that God has put there have been really helpful. It's going to take a while to recover, but things are heading in the right direction. So we're very thankful for what God has been doing. He's been good. God's in control. Now, over the past few weeks, we've been looking at the book of Numbers. What's the book of Numbers about? It's the journey of the Israelites from Mount Sinai in Egypt to the edge of Canaan, to the edge of the Promised Land. That's what happens in the book of Numbers, in a nutshell. And it's probably the most drawn-out journey in history. A trip that should take 11 days takes 40 years. It's a very long time. Remember 2 weeks ago when we were looking at those chapters in Numbers, the Israelites were meant to go into the Promised Land, but they were too scared. They refused. They didn't trust God. And so in judgment, they were made to stay in the wilderness for 40 years. Another way to describe the book of Numbers, it's the story of God's faithfulness. That God makes promises, he keeps promises, he looks after his people. God is faithful and the people are faithless. They are rebellious. A faithful God, a faithless people. But before we get into today's passage, let's pray and ask God to be with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it is written to us. And we pray that as we look through this chapter, we ask that you might speak to our hearts and minds. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Holmes has just set a world record for running marathons. She ran 36 marathons in 36 days. But that wasn't actually the record. Other people have done that as well. What is especially amazing about Sophie Holmes is that she has cystic fibrosis. It's a condition which means that there's a buildup of especially thick mucus, and it often makes it hard for you to breathe. And so the doctors, when she was born, said that she would not live past the age of 16. And now she's in her 30s, running 36 marathons in 36 days. I can't even do one. And the person who was interviewing her on the radio said, "How do you keep going?" And she said, she just put it in her heart and her mind to do it. It was as simple as that. How do you keep going? That's what our passage today is about. How do we keep going in our journey? I'm not running a marathon, although in some ways you can describe it like that, but how do you keep going to the promised land? How do we keep going in our spiritual journey? Because in some ways, in that way, we're actually similar to the Israelites. The Israelites here in Numbers 20, they are God's people. They've been saved from slavery in Egypt, enjoying the benefits of freedom, being God's people, but they're still on the way to the promised land. They're still on the way to Canaan. And that's like us. We are saved, not from Egypt. We're saved from slavery to sin and to death. We enjoy the freedom. We're God's people, but we're still waiting to get to the promised land. There's one day that God will call us home to heaven itself. And the Israelites in the wilderness, they face all kinds of hardships. They face thirst and hunger, temptations, battles. And in a lot of ways, that is us as well. We face hardships. We face temptations and pain, hardships, different battles, the death of a loved one. And so as we take a look at Numbers 20, we're going to see two things for us. One of those things comes from the people. One of those things comes from Moses. What not to do and what we need instead. We're going to be looking at those two things as we look at this chapter this morning. And so first of all, what not to do as we look at the people. Take a look at verse 1. It'd be great if you got your Bibles open in front of you, looking at Numbers chapter 20. Look it up on your phones if you need to. Let me read verse 1. In the first month, the whole Israelite community arrived at the desert of Zin, and they stayed at Kadesh. There Miriam died and was buried. Now, in some sense, you would hope that verse 1 actually saves us from what happens next. Miriam was Moses' sister. And you'd hope that maybe her death would help the people to remember the lesson from Numbers chapter 12 that Gordon preached on 3 weeks ago. If you remember back in Numbers 12, Miriam and Aaron, the sister of Moses, the brother of Moses, they start speaking against Moses. Hasn't God spoken to us as well, not just through Moses? And speaking against the leader that God has chosen, being against Moses has consequences. And so because of that, Miriam has leprosy. And she has to stay outside of the camp for 7 days. And she can't hide it. It's not like she can put on a mask and just cough her way through. She has to stay outside the camp, and the whole people, all of Israel, wait there for 7 days for her to get better. Here, Numbers 20, Miriam dies. And you might think the people remember that lesson. Do you remember what happened to Miriam all those years ago? See what happens when you go against Moses. Here in verse 2, what do? They go against Moses. Take a look at verse 2. Now there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. Here we go again. And this idea of the people, it just seems to be this theme that goes all the way through Numbers 11 to where we are now. There's complaining in chapter 11, rebellion in chapter 12, faithlessness in chapter 13, rebellion in chapter 14, rebellion in chapter 16, and now opposition to God's leader in chapter 20. The Israelites in their journey, they're not traveling well, are they? You jump all the way to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in the New Testament. And Paul says that these things written in the book of Numbers, they're actually written for us. Let me read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us. What we read here, these are warnings so that we don't fall. In our journey to the Promised Land, as we're traveling, how are we traveling? Are we traveling well? There's a warning here for us in our journey. And so back in Numbers 20, the problem is there's no water. And as we've seen before, the community responds with grumbling and rebellion. They gather in opposition to Moses and Aaron. Verse 3, they become angry. They quarrel with Moses. They blame other people. It's their go-to, their immediate reaction. They become angry, and then they want to give up in verse 3. See what they say. If only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. That's a very dramatic way to give up. It's like a little kid who says, I can't do it anymore, and they just flop down, won't move. They're probably talking what happened that we saw last week, when a whole bunch of them died in Korah's rebellion. Can you imagine what they're saying here? Wanting the judgment of God instead of being alive. They are seriously doubting God's goodness. Better to be dead than this place that God has brought them to. They become angry. They want to give up. They doubt God's goodness. They forget where God is taking them. Take a look at verse 4. Why did you bring the Lord's community into this wilderness, that we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grains or figs, grapevines or pomegranates, and there's no water to drink. Do you feel how wrong they are here? On the one hand, who brought them out of Egypt? It wasn't Moses. It was God. And why are they here? Because they rebelled in the first place. And the destination is not the desert. God didn't bring them here to stay. The destination is the Promised Land. That's where they're heading, to be the people of God. They have completely forgotten the salvation that God won for them. Forgotten how terrible it was to be in Egypt. Grain, figs, pomegranates, vineyards. They were slaves. They had none of those things. It's a reminder for us. On our journey to our promised land, when we have times that are hard, times that are disappointing, what do? The warning here is, don't get angry with God or other people. Don't shift the blame to somebody else. Don't give up like the Israelites. It's too hard. I don't want to take God too seriously. It's too hard to follow him properly. Don't doubt God's goodness. You know, we think to ourselves, he's a mean God. He's unloving. It's not fair what he's doing. Don't forget where God is taking you. He's taking you to heaven. When everything's going well, it's easy to trust God in some ways. You know, everything falls into place. Having a bit of God on the side, it's nice. But when times are hard, when things don't go the way that we want them to, when life gets busier and busier, a tragedy happens, that's when the proof is in the pudding. And that's when we really need to trust God. And the question is, will we? In this life, there are going to be hard times. But that is not an excuse to be unfaithful. Because whatever it is that we're facing, whatever it is that we're going through, you are still a person who has been marvelously saved through Jesus. You're still a person who God loves unconditionally. God provides amazingly. And he's there with us even in the hard times. The Israelites have forgotten that. God provides amazingly, sometimes in ways we don't expect. And that's what he does for Israel. Take a look at verse 6. There's no water to drink. See what happens in verse 6. Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance to the tent of meeting and fell face down. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, "Take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before they rise, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community, so that they and their livestock can drink. And in verse 11, they do drink. God gives them water out of the rock. God provides amazingly. And if you remember, God has actually done this before. This is actually a bit of a deja vu. God has given them water in almost exactly the same way in Exodus chapter 17, 40 years earlier. Exodus 17, the Israelites have just left Egypt. God has just taken them out. They're in the desert and the people are thirsty. They grumble against him in Exodus 17. They say, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to die?" Sounds familiar, doesn't it? And back then, God made water come out of the rock so the people had water to drink. At every step of the way, God was there with them, providing for them amazingly, but they didn't learn. They forgot. They didn't trust. There's an interesting passage in 1 Corinthians 10 that I mentioned earlier. It's talking about the Israelites in the wilderness. And it talks about this moment. Let me read verse 3, 1 Corinthians 10. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them. And that rock was Christ. Now, what's that passage saying? In some ways, the water from the rock is actually part of God's salvation. This is God saving them, keeping them alive. And we have the full salvation. That physical thirst points to actually the spiritual thirst and the way God answers that. And that answer is Jesus. We have the real food, the real water. Jesus who gives living water that wells to eternal life in John chapter 4. Jesus says, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink," John chapter 7, and he gives the Holy Spirit. God provides for us even more. The Israelites got angry. They wanted to give up. They doubted God's goodness. They forgot where God was taking them. Are we in danger of any of those responses? Here's the first thing we see in Numbers 20. As we look at the people, don't be faithless like them. We need a leader. And at this point, we go from the people and we start looking at Moses. Now, the people grumble and it drags down not just each other, it actually drags down the leaders, Moses and Aaron. Take a look at verse 9. So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. So far, so good. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels." Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them." Moses and Aaron, they do the wrong thing here. Wrong enough that actually they can't enter the promised land. Now, what is it that they actually do? What's going on here? Because at first glance, it doesn't look like that much. It's Moses' words and his actions. Seems to be two things going on. His words, in Psalm 106, verse 33, it describes this exact moment and says, "Rash words came from Moses' lips." He speaks rashly here. Now, it might be that when he says, "You rebels," he's pronouncing judgment out of anger, which God actually doesn't do. It might be him actually saying, "Must we bring water out of this rock?" You know, he's actually taking some of the credit that he's somehow doing it. It's his words, it's his actions. Do you remember what he was told to do? Speak to that rock. What does he do? He hit. By simply speaking to the rock, it would show the holiness, the greatness of God. With just a word, water would come rushing out. But Moses doesn't trust that will be enough. Now, if you're still not convinced, God knows the heart. He sees the heart of Moses, and he actually tells us what is really going on in verse 12. He says, "You didn't trust in me enough to honor me as holy." You didn't trust in me enough to honor me as holy. See how those things are connected. Trust and obedience, honoring God. If we trust God, it means that we will obey God. It means that we'll honor him. And in Moses' case, there was a lack of trust. And that leads to disobedience, which leads to dishonoring God. God sees the heart. Now, let me be clear about this. This does not mean Moses lost his salvation. He can't enter the promised land of Canaan. I'm pretty sure he's there in heaven. So if that comes up in Q&A, this is more about discipline than actually his salvation itself. We see that in different parts of the Bible, that Moses is held up as someone to be admired, someone who has a close relationship with God. He's there at the transfiguration. But he doesn't enter the promised land. It's actually saying something about who's going to lead them into Canaan, the kind of leader that they need as they enter in. Now, did you notice that Numbers chapter 20, it's a little bit like a job advertisement for a leader, that this is what we need. Before going to Bible college, one of the jobs that I used to have, was in recruitment. And so I'd sometimes write job ads, and I put them in the paper. One of the stranger jobs that I advertised for was egg collectors. And so 3,000 of them in there in the room with them. So you might put an ad into the paper, or if you go to a local cafe, there might be a sign which says, "Position vacant, help wanted." That's kind of what's also going on in Numbers chapter 20. It's actually there in the structure. In verse 1, how does it start? The death of Miriam. At the end of chapter 20, it's the death of Aaron. And right is going to die. It's saying, position vacant, help wanted. There's a job that needs to be done, guiding the people into the promised land. Somebody who's better than Moses, who trusts God, obeys God, honors God. Now, in the short term, that's going to be Joshua. But in the longer term, in the bigger picture, even Joshua fails. Every human leader fails. It's a problem that goes all the way through the Old Testament, from Moses to David to Hezekiah. You read through the book of Numbers and you sort of think, the people are always rebelling against God. There's no way that they are worthy to go in. And as you read through the Old Testament, there's no leader who is worthy to go in or to bring the people in until you come to Jesus, who by his perfect obedience is the perfect leader to bring all of God's people in, into the promised land, into heaven itself. He trusts God to the highest degree. He obeys to his final breath. And he honors God, lays everything at his feet. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he sees the cross, he prays, "Not my will, but yours." And as he comes into the presence of us in with him. We need a leader, and we need this leader. Maybe that's where you're at this morning, that actually you're coming along and you're finding out about the Bible, about Jesus. It is great to have you with us. Keep coming along. Maybe you haven't made Jesus your leader yet. Today would be a great day to do that. He's the only one, through his death and resurrection, who can lead us into heaven. How do you keep going? Don't be faithless. We need a leader. In the meantime, you and I, we are still traveling. Until we reach heaven, until we are called home, we are on our journey. And along the way, we're going to meet trials and difficulties, temptations, moments where we feel helpless. You might be going through that even now. in a relationship, at work, your family situation, someone who's close to you, who's struggling. And that can be hard. That can be really hard. Can I encourage you to share that with the people around you so that they can encourage you, so that they can pray for you? That's one of the great blessings that God gives us. The warning here in Numbers 20 at the same time is to stay faithful. Hard times are not an excuse for us to become faithless. They're times for our faith to be real and to be solid. Because whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is that you're facing, God's grace, God's love for you, that never changes. His love, don't doubt it. Look at Jesus. That's how much he loves you. And at the same time, remember where it is that we are heading and who's going to make sure that we get there. The death and resurrection of Jesus, he is our leader. He's done everything to bring us in. And so trust him. Cling to Jesus every step of the way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word to us here in Numbers 20. We thank you, Lord, that these words are written for us. We pray, Lord, that we might heed the warning. Help us in the good times and the hard times to remain faithful and to trust in Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that he is our leader, that he is. Break open the doors, to fling open, wide open the gates so that we can enter the promised land of heaven. Help us, Father, to cling to Jesus every step of the way of this journey until you call us home. And we pray this in his name. Amen.